And welcome, coaches. With us, we have Gail from the UK. Good evening, Gail.
Good evening.
Gail, welcome to the call. We're going to be listening to you and a client of yours. Apparently, you taped this 9 months ago, so this will be one of the before training examples, right?
Yes.
And you've been coaching for how long, Gail?
Oh, for about a year.
About a year. Okay, great. So we'll be looking forward to hearing how you coach your client. Do you remember who the client was?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good. All right. All right. So we're going to get started here. Hold on just 1 second.
Hi, Monica.
Hello. Hello, it's Monica here.
Hi, Monica. I wanted to say to you that it was a great article that came out in the FT.
Thank you very much. Yes, I was quite pleased with it. Once I got over the initial shock of seeing how heavily edited it had been, I was quite pleased, and it was in a reasonably good position as well on page 3, so that was good. To actually make the pink paper was quite something.
Well, I was most impressed. I mean, I'd never read the original article, but I thought what I saw read very well, and it was extremely well placed. It's only placed in the Financial Times.
Yeah, it has gone all over the world as well.
So, Gail, we'll stop right there. I just want to commend you on the tone. You know, sometimes coaches were, you know, we don't always emote as much as you do. We kind of hold back a little bit. But this obviously was a major win for your client, it sounds like, yes?
Yes, it was.
And so you did a perfect job of kind of coming up to the client's level of excitement. And you pointed out what you felt was valuable about it, which is important for the client to hear what we see rather than just being an echo of what they saw. And let's see what happens from here.
You never know what effect that might have. Did it make you smile a bit?
Oh, no, terribly. I mean, it's such a quirky product.
Mm.
Can't help but love it or hate it.
Mm. I wonder if everybody knows what we're talking about.
No, we'll have to say it's about Marmite.
Yeah.
Anyway, tell me, thank you for the prep notes. I just wanted
okay.
to know what you... You obviously mentioned a few different things that you wanted to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you like to think about and talk about today?
Well, I think the first point that I wrote down, which is to do...
So we'll stop there for a second. Gail, what are the different ways that you ask that same question? You say, what did you want to talk about today? Do you ask it in other ways as well when the client's first starting to work with you on a call?
If I'm starting with a brand new
client. No, I'm sorry, just in general, when at the beginning of a call, there's different ways to, you know, get the ball rolling, if you will, during a call, one of which is to use the phrasing you did, which is, what do you want to talk about? Do you ever use other terms as well?
Yeah, depending. I mean, it depends on the client, too. Some clients might prefer something a bit more business-like, you know. Which objective do you want to work on today? Or what strategy should we look at?
So you're gonna just basically based on either what does the client send you a prep form or something so you kind of know what the topic is?
Yes.
Okay.
Great. She had sent me two, but she hadn't weighed them or actually shown exactly which one she wanted to do first, so that's why I was asking her for clarification which one was most important to her.
Okay, great. So what do you want to talk about? What's top on your list for today? What's the biggest priority for our session today? Those are just different ways to phrase the same thing, depending on, your personality and the client as well. Hold on.
With promoting myself, last week when we spoke, I think we touched on that subject. I felt that I need to do more about promoting what I do, but I didn't know how to do it or what to do and who to do it to. And since that time, I've had an invitation from the Royal Horticultural Society in London to go for drinks at the end of the month. Now, my initial reaction was just to bin the invitation. I thought it would probably be a bit of a waste of time. And then I thought, well, bearing in mind that I was talking about promoting myself to you,
mm-hmm.
I thought, well, maybe there might be an opportunity to do something, but I just don't know what. And I'm not very good at this type of thing. I suppose it's really networking, but I'm not really very good at it. So I thought, well, maybe you can sort of help me along the line a bit, and maybe I could come up with some things that I could do or talk about, or really how I can benefit from meeting other journalists and maybe some top boards, I'm not certain, but other people from the Horticultural Society. So I thought that might be something that we could talk about, or I could talk about today.
Yeah, I was just asking, why did initially did you think of winning it?
To start with, the things that went through my mind were, oh God, I've got to go up to London in the evening.
So, Sylvia, you did great because you held back. You didn't, like, interrupt the client. Obviously, the client seems to be a person who likes to talk a bit. Did you want to interrupt her, or you didn't, or do you remember?
No, I didn't want to interrupt her.
Because you don't normally, or you just want them to kind of create their own, be in charge of the call, and you can respond to them accordingly?
I suppose it's one of the first things I learned in coaching was to listen.
Okay, very good. And as you probably picked up on, the client has a bit of a negative tone about things. You know, I should market myself. I was going to bin it, meaning to toss out the invitation. Oh, God, it means a night away. And did you want to get into her style and her kind of her attitude, or were you just going to wait and see what she wanted from you on the call?
I think because I've been working with the client for a while, I could see past your mood, but I wanted to find out what the cause was for that, and then focus in on that and work with that.
You have a couple of options. One is whenever a client talks to me, like, has that kind of negative tone, or whatever that is. I mean, it just may be a cultural difference, but I actually like to address that right away. They may come to me because they want advice on marketing, but with a tone and attitude like that, it's going to be hard for that person to be pretty attractive to her ideal client or whoever she's trying to market. So I want to focus on who the person is and how they're coming across, their communication, whether they've asked for it or not. That's the tricky part in coaching. Do you wait for the client to tell you what they want you to do with them, or do you actually offer or introduce or broach topics that perhaps the client isn't expecting? So does this client have moods that go up and down, or just that this is just kind of the tone in which she normally speaks?
This is the tone, but as the conversation unfolded, she definitely had a block about this. It was a lack of self-confidence, if I recall, was the issue.
Okay, got it. All right. Very good. Let's see what happens next. I just want to back up. Is it you that a coach, just for everyone listening here, I want you to know you have the right to say something. I'm like, well, you know, Martha, you know, or John, or whatever the client's name is, you know, I do want to work with you on that, but I'm also noticing you, there's a pretty, you know, kind of, you know, heavy tone. There's a bit of a, you know, a flipness. There's just, it doesn't sound like you're thrilled about the whole marketing thing. And I'd love to kind of, if you'd be willing to let us talk about that first. Because, you know, we can come up with strategies and we can work on different, you know, solutions for that, but for getting, you know, for marketing or putting yourself out there. But I want to first work on the tone, because no matter what we do on the back end, you know, what good is it going to be if you're kind of come across like that? So again, that may not work in your culture, but that's one way to handle it, to actually bring it on the table, because that actually might be an entry point that goes down several levels deep with the client, rather than just focusing on, you know, some sort of practical solution to solve the presenting issue or problem.
In the dark. That sounds quite pathetic. I'm not terribly keen. I felt in a way that it would be a waste of time, because by the time I've left here at about 3:30, and I don't get home again till about 10 o'clock, and I thought, well, is it worth going just for a drink? So my first thoughts were, oh, no, waste of time. And then I thought...
So again, you're more of the same, right?
Yeah.
With a client like this, there's people generally come from one of two distinctions in life. They come from a place that they're about something. You know, should I, shouldn't I? Well, what about that? What do I think about that? Lots of opinions, lots of, you know, stuff. And other clients come from a place in life where they're for something, F-O-R, meaning they're going towards something, and they may have moments of plateau or, you know, bad moods or negativity, but they're actually geared toward something, and they're excited about it. It's motivating or inspiring to them. And this client's clearly coming from a place of about, should I, shouldn't I, trying to do a pro and con, debating the benefits or features or consequences or the opportunity. It's kind of like, you know, looking in the window of life, if you will, you know, and just kind of looking at it from that perspective rather than saying, you know what, I want that red dress or I want that 10 new clients. And they actually aren't looking toward doing something. They're just kind of talking about something as if talking about it's going to make the difference. Am I guessing correctly on this client or do you know?
I think because she wasn't convinced that that was a necessary strategy, that there's obviously something she had an inkling and as a result wanted to pursue it with me. But otherwise, she's very much a towards person, but that obviously is a task she didn't like, so she was very much, ooh, I don't want to do this, but am I missing, you know, a trick here?
She wants to find a way to do this easier, and the way that she's thinking it sounds like drudgery or a waste of time?
No, I don't. It's just something that she doesn't like. She doesn't like doing and is not totally convinced that this is the way maybe she has to do it.
Okay, so she's kind of dragging her feet or...
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. And then when a client's like that, though, what are the solutions, what are the approaches you take with a client who's in that space about anything, whether it's about marketing themselves when they don't want to do it or there's a change they want, they know they have to make, but they aren't convinced it's the right one. What are the ways that you handle that?
Well, it depends on the client, but I would let them talk about it for a while and try and see if I could pinpoint what was the issue and then home in on that. But if not, just ask them, do they really want to work on this? How important is it? Or should we move on to something else?
That's good because, you know, again, as you mentioned yourself, honing in on what's most important is the eighth proficiency. It's hard to know sometimes at the beginning of a call which thing is going to be the most important. Is it going to be the client's attitude? Is it going to be the for versus the about? Is it going to be the right strategy that should be designed? Is it going to be about listening and honing in and letting it kind of let it come to us rather than trying to hone in too aggressively? At that point, we don't know. So let's keep going and see what happens.
No, I've got to think differently. Maybe I shall learn something from the experience, but I don't know what.
Well, who's going to be there?
It's other journalists, obviously, who have mentioned the RHS. Because the reason they've invited me was because I had a 4-page article, once again in the FT, last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's their way of thanking me. There's also some sort of flower show on as well. I think they have a monthly flower show, which I have to say that I'm not terribly interested in, but you never know, there might be something worth looking at or getting my thoughts around, I don't know. But it was just really the thought of going for a drink with journalists who are really in the same business. And I thought, well, there isn't really much point in promoting myself to other journalists.
But obviously you thought...
But then I thought to myself, well, maybe they'll be able to help me with the problem I'm having of promoting myself. Maybe I could... Do you remember last week we talked about this and I was going to go to a colleague of mine and a lady who you know, I think, and ask them how they promote themselves. Well, I haven't done that yet. And I thought, well, perhaps this is an opportunity to do that, to speak to other people and find out how they go about doing these things, to see if they're any better than I am. I mean, I'll probably find that they aren't any better, but that would probably make me feel quite good. But it might be worth a try, anyway. So I thought, well, all I've got at the moment is I've had my business cards. But then what do I do next? I just don't know what I do. What do I say to people? I don't feel very confident of doing it, of networking with these people.
Good. So it's been, 6 minutes into the call, and now we're getting to what she doesn't feel she can do very well. Do you see is there any way you could have actually had that be said in the first 60 seconds? Versus waste, not wasting, but having the client go through 6 minutes of chat.
I suppose I wanted her to try and find out her own solution to it rather than me sell her on why she should be there.
Because you want them to, the client to own their own point of view. And you're afraid that we're trying to... because you knew why why you felt she should go? Is that something you had in your head?
Yeah. And I think I might have gone into that mode later on, if I remember right. I think I did start to put on more of a consultancy hat and say, well, you might want to do this and this and this for this reason. But this client particularly needs to work things out in her own way. And so it was almost, okay, go for it. Let's see, you know, sell yourself on it.
Gotcha. So that's kind of her style. Now,
without a reason.
You know, and that's definitely important for some clients, that that's the way they are. But the point I want to make here is that those clients can change, meaning that that's all they have been doing probably their entire lives, is having to sell themselves on something or whatever the particular approach happens to be to buying into something. And it is an option in coaching to ask the client to change how they do that. So it's not working necessarily on the actual situation, but it's using the situation as a chance for personal growth. And you could say, listen, you know, I won't use the client's name, but we'll say, Barbara, typically when you and I talk, it takes anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes for you to come to your own conclusion and talk yourself into the next step. And I hold back because I don't want to push you in that process. I don't want to override your natural style. But I'm just wondering, would you be interested in progressing our calls forward a bit faster by not going through that process and actually making decisions more quickly without the traditional buy-in process? Would that be of interest to you? I'm just giving you language, Gail, on just different ways.
That sounds good. Thank you.
And that way, because I guess, I'm just guessing here, but, number 10, which is proficiency number 10, on shares what is there. I don't want to put you on the spot, but was there something that you really wanted to say to her outside of the actual, strategy or content of her situation, but actually just stuff that you've been holding back a little bit? Or is that my imagination?
I'm just trying to think back to then. I probably was holding back because I felt my normal inclination would be to jump in with a solution or to cut somebody short, and so I was sitting back and trying to not jump in too quickly.
Good. So you're going to kind of build that muscle up. So you've got both muscles available. It's important. Are you a consultant originally?
Yes.
So it's important you're going to be learning about the listening and the letting the client find their own solution thing. The one thing, though, is that you can still jump in, but don't jump in with a solution. Just jump in with a request for the client to change in some way so that you actually can do your work and their work will progress more quickly. Because, again, this is somewhat laborious for the client, and you want to leave them with a permanent solution, not just to this particular problem, but to how they approach this type of thing in the future. And that'd be under number 12, which is enters new territories. You can say, listen, the way you normally do something is your MO or your modus operandi is X. In coaching, you have an option of actually changing how you do things. One of my frameworks is that, delay is increasingly expensive. And so my clients, I don't try to push them or rush them through a call. But if they have a, quote, unquote, old-fashioned habit of processing things and talking through things, I just give them the option. They can actually move through things much more quickly than perhaps they have before. They don't push them to take the option, but I let them know that it's available. And first, they may have to try it for a couple of weeks until they actually like it, but generally they will then, enter that new territory and come to see it and actually change internally as a person rather than just using it as a, a strategy or some sort of accelerant.
Well, thank you for that. It's good to have the language. I think that my fingers would be to watch that I didn't come across too bluntly in that, so it was good to have the language.
Yes, it is, and it's there's a comfort level involved with this. If you need for the client to hurry up, it's going to come out fairly rough-edged, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. But if it's just an option that you want to interrupt the client, so listen, the way you're approaching this is X, there's another way to approach it. Are you interested? They can then tell you whether they are or whether they're not. As long as it's casual and charge neutral, it's not going to have that edge or that heaviness that any coach would be concerned about imposing on their client. So again, the bottom line here, you really have an option of interrupting the client, not with a solution, but actually interrupting the client and entering new territory with them on the spot before you actually get to the situation that they asked you to work on with them during the call. Let's see what happens next.
How do you think it's going to be any different than a lot of the other functions that you go to, let's say the photography and even interviewing people?
Well, I suppose that it's going to be a bunch of journalists. Now, I don't normally mix with journalists. I work on my own, and it's very rare for me to see anybody else in the business. When I did that ring walking wedding thing in the summer, I did actually, well, I was in the same sort of field, if you like, literally outside, as about 20 or 30 press men. But there was no networking. It was really sort of pushy, and everybody was fighting for their little space. So we didn't really talk. I'm probably thinking about that. That really didn't benefit me in any way whatsoever, meeting other people in the trade.
But obviously you're not running after a story in this case. This is a social event, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And didn't you once mention to me that you thought it would be useful to meet up with other press and find out how they do and basically network and learn from them?
Yes, I probably did.
Okay, so we'll point out that one. What you did was you said, and didn't you tell me, didn't you say to me, didn't we talk about this? Whenever you refer to the past, like a previous coaching conversation, it generally diminishes the client. Just a point of view, Gail, on this one. And so I almost never refer to a previous session. I never refer to what the client said before. I never refer how the client was before. Whenever there's a comparative or bringing something back from the past, it takes the client backwards, just as a point of coaching theory.
Okay.